Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We've just had a grand time this morning. We've discussed some things that are going to be beneficial to the congregation.
Amen.
If you were in Bible class, and it was a great Bible class, I gained a lot of insight from you all. And again, working with you all specifically to try to guide a righteous leadership to this congregation is our goal for 2024 for the Church of Christ, for you all. And I believe that that's going to be beneficial to my ministry as well, because we're seeking to try to grow congregations and try to spread the gospel. Because if we're looking at the world today, and I'm just talking about from a standpoint of where people's minds are concerning religion, concerning God, concerning things of a spiritual nature. The world is in degradation.
Amen.
The world is in a point of situations where you have to do like hard negotiations with two countries to have them stop fighting so long enough so they can let go of hostages, when that's something that they should be doing, instead of trying to fight over a piece of land that they've been fighting over since the beginning of the Bible. And now, just that's just one point. You have all of these things that are spreading throughout society, throughout our communities, that are showing us that God is no longer at the forefront.
Nope.
Where God should be. Mm-hmm. God should be at the forefront, but God is not at the forefront. So it becomes even more imperative that congregations, that people of God, go back out into the world and do the job that they've been commanded to do, that you've been requisitioned to do by God. And we've gotten so far off the track. And I'm not talking about anybody individually. I'm talking about the church as a whole. The church done got quiet.
Amen.
The church don't speak like it used to. The church doesn't stand out like it used to. Everybody wants to get along, to go along, to get along, or that, you know, we don't want to make no waves, or, you know, I'm going to do me, you do you. No, we have to stand in the gap. It was a time when that was expected of us, to stand in the gap between the forces of evil and what God would have them to do. And we were the forefront of that. And what is happening now is that churches of Christ, and I'm just talking about churches of Christ, are looking to grow larger but not save.
That's right.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
They're not looking to save anybody. They don't want to go out and convert anybody. As long as we can stand up in front of hundreds of people and say we have this super large church, a mega church, whatever that term is, a mega church is not something that God was ever concerned with. Because even in the scripture, he said, not all will find their way to the kingdom. Everybody not going to make it. Because we're not all here for the same purpose. But the purpose of the congregation, the purpose of the church, is to seek and save the lost. Luke 19 and verse number 10. That is why we are here. Jesus did not come for any other purpose. He did not die on the cross for any other purpose. He did not bleed for us for any other purpose.
Amen.
We don't have to be worried about money or things like that, other than the fact that we need money to take care of ourselves as a congregation. But we don't have to stack it. We are not a bank. We are not a loaning institution. See, people have to get back to what they exist for, why the church exists. The church exists to help people get out of the carnal mire that they are in, get to a spiritual mind that will help them get to heaven.
Amen.
That is the purpose of the church.
That's right.
So the first thing that we need to get back to in trying to understand our purpose is helping people convert themselves. Amen.
Amen.
We have to help people change their mind about how they live. And that is not an easy task. I'm going to demonstrate that to you right now, really quickly. Why are you waiting is the question that we typically ask those that have heard the gospel but don't obey the gospel. They hear the word, they like what they hear, They know they need to change, but they don't. And the question becomes quickly, why are you waiting? This is a situation that I want to show you through Scripture. Acts chapter 22, verse number 12 through 16. Acts chapter 22 and verse 12 through 16. And the reason that I'm showing you this, and see, the idea of offering excuses is not a new thing. Everybody got excuses. We all got excuses why we can't do something. Brother Montgomery, I got a little bit of weight. A little bit. And I know that I need to go to the gym or something. I need to take a walk in one direction, something. Push back from the table, something. But what I'm going to do is give you a bunch of excuses why I don't lose weight. I'm going to tell you all kind of things why I can't lose weight. But what I should be doing is what? Refocusing that information and energy so that I what? Can lose weight. Why? Because I'm sick. And because I'm sick, and because I've had a heart attack, these doctors are saying, Brother Elder, you need to lose 20 pounds. That sounds monumental to me because I like 20 pounds of food. Every day, all day. Me and my wife went out last night, tried to eat. She ate some cauliflower appetizer. I ate another appetizer, and neither one of us could eat our food. It's getting to the point to where, because they're trying to give us medication to help us lose weight, because we can't lose weight by ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all done heard about that medicine. What is it, Ozempic? Yeah, everybody want it now. Hey, give me some Ozempic. No, how about you owe yourself to a deal? Or owe yourself outside your house. Walk around and stop looking for things to try to, that's just an excuse to not do what we need to do or what we have to do. That's just it. But see, people also have reasoning for why they don't want to follow the word of God. And these are some of the things. Let me read to you the scripture. Acts chapter 22 and verse 12 through 16. And again, there's a certain Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same hour I looked up, and then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will, and that you should see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be as his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Who is Ananias? Who is he talking to? He's talking to Paul. And Paul has now been given a directive. Paul has been given a command. And Ananias is saying, now that you've been set up, now that you have sight, now that you have faith, why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? And that is the question. People, why do people wait to save themselves and go to heaven? Everybody here want to go to heaven, right? Raise your hand if you want to go.
Amen.
Do you want to go right now? Now look at you, put your hand down. Why is that? Why don't you want to go right now? You know why people don't want to go right now? Because you got to die to get there. You gotta get out of this world to get to that world. And are you ready? That's the question. People don't think that they're ready. But you didn't get to the point where you were not ready overnight. Amen. You have to get ready, but you have to understand that you need to get ready. But you cannot do it by yourself. We need the help of the Almighty, because this world has a lot of temptation. And that temptation is the thing that throws us off track. It's the thing that keeps us from doing what we're supposed to do. And we have to understand that, y'all, when we're talking to new converts. We have to understand they're not going to understand everything that we understand because we've been in it for a while. People that's been in the world don't know what we're talking about. They only know what they know, or they know an amalgamation of what they think the gospel is. They know an amalgamation of what they think God is. They know an amalgamation of what they think the church is. They think they know, but they don't know unless they teach them, unless they've been taught. Isn't that what the Ethiopian eunuch said? Yeah. How can I know unless what? Some man teach me. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand this is a situation that is a taught situation. You can't just get it laying on your Bible and figuring it out. And you surely can't get it. People like to give out like a whole lot of scriptures. You go home and read this and tell me what you think. They don't know. They don't know what that stuff is. Even Paul said it. To a world that is perishing, this is foolishness to them. They have to be taught. This is where we come in. This is where our mandate is secure. This is why we are here. Amen. They have to be taught. The scripture says, why does one, well, not the scripture, why does one wait? Whatever the objection, the Lord has an answer. To illustrate some of these objections, I just wrote down some of the things that Brother Gay and I get from some people when we ask them, why are they waiting to save themselves? Why are you waiting to obey the gospel? And here are some of the examples. Because one, the devil delights in procrastination. The devil wants you to wait. Because this is what people don't understand about procrastination, especially when it comes to your soul salvation. You could die.
Amen.
The devil understands that. Mm-hmm. And if you die in your sin where God is, you cannot go.
That's what he said.
John chapter 8 and verse 21. You cannot go. And the devil is hoping that you procrastinate long enough to stay out of the kingdom. So some of the excuses that people give is that I'm too young to think about God right now. I got to live my best life. If your best life don't include God, that ain't your best life. Yeah. If your best life ain't got God in it somewhere, that's not a best life. That's a worse life. And it gets worse from every aspect if it don't have God in it. But it's young people who think that they have time. But it ain't just young people. Sometimes it's us older ones think we got time too. Even though we got more day behind us than we do in front of us, we still think we got time, and that is one of the devil's greatest devices to make you believe you got time to fix it. Amen. Another excuse, I'm too busy to think about God. I got a career and a family to be concerned with. You don't think God know that. You don't think God know you got a job. But if your job has become more important than your God, then your job is your God. If your family has become more important than God, then your family has become your God. Whatever you put in front of God is your God. Mm-hmm. It is not an excuse, and it's definitely not a good one. Another one. I'm too tired to think about God. I go to work all day and all night, and I gotta support myself and my family. Again, God knows all these things, but I know that the scripture said that he will never put what? More on us than what? We can bear.
That's right.
We all got to go to work. You want to eat, don't you? Yeah. We all got to go. It's not a good excuse. And then why put God to the side when God is the one that blessed you with the job? God is the one that blessed you with the money to be able to go to the store, to be able to buy the food, to be able to feed your family. Without God, you wouldn't have none of that. So why does he get put to the back burner? He should be on the forefront. Amen. Tiredness don't got nothing in. You're going to be tired till the day you die. When you get in the coffin, you can get all the rest you want. Last one. I'm too old to think about God. I'm going to let the young people do the work, and I'm just going to sit back and let young folks do it. I've already done everything that I need to do. I'm going to let the young people do it. And I put that in there because I actually had a guy come into North Las Vegas and tell us that he had retired from church work. I said, son, you don't know the scripture. And he said, what? Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Be faithful unto death. Yeah. If you're not dead, you can't retire. Did you hear?
Amen.
If you alive, you got breath in your lung, you can't retire. And God didn't give you authorization to retire. Who did you talk to about this? Where did you go to get this information? That you could give it over. You can't give nothing over. You got work, I got work, and we got work to do. Amen. And it don't stop until we die. Even people got illnesses. I understand people are sick. I understand people got stuff they're going through. But I don't care if you can't run nothing but your mouth. Your mouth better run for God. And that situation is completely scriptural. Until death. We have to be faithful until death. There's something all of us can't do. Brother, I can't run fast no more. I can't really run no more. You probably could beat me. But that's okay. I may not be able to get out and walk and talk and do door knocking like I used to, but I know this. I talk about God wherever I can, whenever I can, wherever I am. I don't care who is in front of me. I don't care who is around me. I'm not afraid. I am never going to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But I know that there's still work for me to do, even though my health may limit me. Your health may limit you. Your age may limit you, but God still gave you breath. And as long as we are blessed to be alive, we have to show God that we appreciate it. Yes. And we still have to do the work we've been commanded to do. We have to put in that work. And these are some things that we just need to know. One, delay is foolish. Delaying the commandment is foolish. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 28, why does mankind have more concern for the body, for his body and not his soul? Because he's selfish. Because man is only concerned with himself. Man is almost to the point where he wants to make himself God. But how do I know this, Brother Elder? Because look at man. Man want to get out here and try to change men into women. Medically. He want to make himself God. He want to tell us that homosexuality is something you can be born with. And the Bible don't say it. Amen. You're just making things up as you go along. Because man is selfish and he wants to be his own God. Why? If I'm my own God, I ain't got to follow God's rule. I can do what I want to do. But no. We have to be concerned because delaying of the commandments of God is foolish. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says, and do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and the soul in hell. Listen to the entire verse. Not just destroy the body and the soul, but destroy it and put you where? In hell. There is consequence for not doing what God has asked us to do. And that's what I'm saying. Delay is foolish because hell is waiting on those who delay. Amen. Why are you waiting? You waiting on hell? That's what you want? It seems that way. People think if they don't believe in it, it don't exist. You better stop lying. You may not believe in oxygen, but it's right here. It's right here. You may not believe in the wind, but we go outside, I bet you it's blowing. You don't have to believe in it for it to be true. So for you not to believe in God, that's okay. There's still consequence. And there's still consequence that you're going to have to deal with, whether you believe or not. Physical death pales in comparison with the prospect of eternal punishment. See, both body and soul point to a fundamentalism in human beings. In this life, the body and the soul exist simultaneously, only to be separated by death. Yet God will resurrect the soul in a new body. But see, people don't want to believe that. That's why conversion can be difficult. Because people don't want to believe that that's going to be the ultimate conclusion of this situation, of this body. But even science supports that. Matter can be neither created nor destroyed. Matter can only be transferred or transmuted. That's the same thing with your soul. We can't create it. We can't destroy it. It's only going to be transferred from this plane to the next plane. But when you get to the next plane, you're either going to have a mansion robe and a crown, or you have a rock in hell. But that's all you're going to get? That is it. I'm going to give it to you straight, laced, and plain. People want to preach a complicated gospel. I'm going to give you a simple gospel so I can help you speed up the process of making your mind converted. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse verse 42 through 44. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 42 through 44. I like to show in Scripture when the Bible says something multiple times in different places, it wants you to understand what it's saying. The Bible says this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. The body is corrupted. This flesh is corrupted because this flesh wants what it wants. This flesh doesn't want to pay attention. This flesh wants everything that it shouldn't have. It's sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. What is Paul talking about here? Paul is saying that even though the body is corrupted, it has an ability for salvation through Christ. But let me get to it. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it's raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body because the Bible told us so. Amen. The natural body is what we live in. The natural body is the problem because the natural body is created out of flesh. This flesh is going back to the dust that it came from. We don't get to stay here longer than God intended. If we've lived past the time that the Bible has said that we should be allowed to, then we ought to be feeling blessed. I love this young man because he's lived a long time. And that is through the blessings of God. Amen. That he still has wherewithal of mind. That he still has good mobility. That he still has decent health. That is a blessing. But sometimes we take these things for what? Granted?
Amen. I don't.
Amen. And you shouldn't. None of us should. Whatever age we are to thank God that we are here. But that don't mean that we're going to be here too much longer.
That's right.
I think Brother Gay told me the other day in the Philippines, it was an earthquake 7.6. And a couple of hundred people died. And I'm saying that lightly, but that's not light. People die every day. But the pundits will say, well, people are born every day. So what? I promise you, if you already here, you ain't on the born side. You on the other side. And the other side is just waiting for you. Mortal bodies are dying. They are dishonorable and they are weak. See, Paul shows us in this scripture that those who are not in the body, who are not in the bodies that are eternal, then those bodies are, let me say it a different way. The bodies that's going to be given to us are going to be eternal. But they are going to be eternal either in heaven or in hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? They will not die. There is another life after this life. And that's what people don't want to believe. There are those that say that when we die, we go to oblivion. You want to believe that. Because if you believe that, then you can live any way you want. You can rob people, you can kill people, you can steal. Because you're going nowhere, right? No. That don't make sense. I told you, it don't make sense biblically. It don't make sense scientifically. Let me move hastily. Some would say, I don't know enough yet. How much do you need to know to stay out of trouble? I don't know every law in the law book. But I know this, doctor. I don't want to go to jail. Jail is not for Brother L. And I don't have to know every law or which one not to break, not to go to jail. At the same token, I don't want to go to hell. And I know the commands of God. I know what God wants. But people always say, well, I don't really know what the Bible says. Do you want to go to hell? Do you want to be on fire for the rest of it? Do you want those things? If you don't want those things, let me teach you what you need to know, not for that to happen. You can be taught, but just to say, I don't know, so you're just going to forever not know? That's your excuse? That's not a good excuse. Ignorance of the law don't save you from it. Do you understand that? The judges tell you that, so if an earthly judge tell you that, God done told you that too. And one time he winked at sin, but that day is no longer. Now you got to repent. You got to come back from your sinful state. If you stay in sin, you're going to have a hell problem. And how much does one need to know? If you understand that you are lost in your sin and that you need to be convicted in that loss and that you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to be baptized and you're willing to learn how to follow Christ properly, that is all you need to know. Amen. Initially. One, you can never learn everything. You ain't gonna learn, I don't care how long you live. You ain't gonna learn every time I open this book, I learn something new. Every time you learn something new, don't you feel good about it? You're gonna forever be a student of the book if you study. But you cannot sit up and say, how much do I need to know? You need to know it till you die. That's the good answer for me. Know everything till you die. And once you know those things, do them. Don't just know and do it. The Bible, James said it too. Those who know to do right and do not do it, to him it is what? Sin. Mm-hmm. So you have to do more than know. You got to put it into action. And then lastly, you got people saying, I don't want to go to worship, or I don't want to come to God because of the hypocrites. And I'm saying this right here, and I want you to understand me real quickly. Hypocrisy is everywhere you are. Hypocrisy in your house. Hypocrisy in your family. Hypocrisy is on your job. Hypocrisy is at Walmart when you leave this building. It's hypocrites everywhere you go. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a person that says one thing and does another. So hypocrites exist everywhere. You are going to try to say that you don't want to bring yourself to Christ because of people? You shouldn't put your trust in people. Your trust should be in who? God. Because people will fail you. God will never fail you. But that takes a spiritual mind. That takes a spiritual mind to understand that concept. It's not hard, but it takes time. We have to understand as a congregation when we're bringing people to Christ that we are not going to win anybody overnight. Some might just go right into it. I've seen people get baptized, jump right into it, and stay to it. But I'm going to promise you, more likely than not, those that get baptized often go right back into the world. Mm-hmm. Conversion takes time. And we have to give people the hard, honest-to-God truth. But in giving that truth, we have to give people positive explanation. You never understand what you are doing until you explain how to do it. What'd you do for a living, sir?
I was in the military and law enforcement.
That's right. Did they just let you go and give you a gun and say, get out there and help us?
No, sir.
No, sir. They had to do what? Train you. They had to train you. That's all that the study of the scripture is. Training. Training for what, Brother Elder? For us to make ourselves better men and women for God and to be able to give it to somebody else. That's it. But people don't want the training. I told y'all last week about my son. Mom wanted to be supervised in 3 months. Who? Where? Why they do this at? And then get mad and quit the job. And then have the gall and the nerve to come to me and his mother and say, they wouldn't make me supervisor, so I quit. I say, boy, you better be glad I'm not in the apartment complex because you'll be outside. Lord have mercy. We just have to understand that we, as children of God, as the church, have to understand that waiting and delaying and making up excuses and putting things in front of God is not the way that we win souls. We have to be better ourselves, and that way we can be an example for those that are trying to come. Because if we don't live it, they can't see it. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say. You can get them every scripture in this book, but if you don't live it, they can't see it. Amen. And they gotta see it. God is not a being that can be seen. They can only see God through you. What must one do to be saved? What must one do to come to Christ? Well, one must do a couple of things. And one of those things, first of all, is that they must hear the word of God. They must hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. And then after they hear the word of God, they got to believe that word of God. And how do they believe it? They got to believe the person that's telling them. Mm-hmm. They got to see it in your life. That's how they believe that word. Because they're receiving that word from us as emissaries of Christ. Amen. They got to believe it. And then after they believe, then they have to repent of their sin. And I told you, that's not just saying you sorry. That's actually making a life change. And that's also found in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 5. Then after you repent, the Bible says you must confess the sweetest name of a spoken or mortal tongue. And that name is the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 through 10. Then after you've heard, believed, repented, and confessed. The Bible says you must be baptized in a watery grave of baptism, fully immersed. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 5, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then after you do all these things, the Bible says completely in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. I know that these things seem simple to us, but we are trying to give a message of life to a world that is dying. And they need it right now. Mm-hmm. They need it right now. The urgency is on us, not them. They perish it. We have to be the ones that understand we need to get to work right now. And we don't got all day. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and let's sing.